Let's read God's Word together in Romans chapter 10. Paul's Epistle to the Romans chapter 10. This in connection with Lord's Day 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. The Word of God at Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We read the inspired Scriptures that far. It's on the basis of Romans 10 and in accordance with all of God's Word that we have the teaching of the Catechism in Lord's Day 25. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 25. Questions and answers 65 through 68. Question 65 asks, Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all His benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? From the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66, What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, by the use thereof, He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal, for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67, Are both word and sacraments, then, ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the one to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. Yes, indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which He offered for us on the cross. Question 68. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? 2. Namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants you and me to know and to be assured of our salvation. The Heidelberg Catechism begins with that glorious statement that you and I, by faith, take upon our own lips that I, with body and soul, belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That really, in a sentence, is our salvation. It is not the case that God causes us to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God grants us this great salvation, that God one day will live with us into all eternity, but then while we are on this earth, He causes us to wonder as to whether or not those things that I just said truly are for me. God saves us, and God saves us in such a way that He wants us to know and to be assured of and to enjoy that salvation. Think about how wrong that would be if that was not the case. If you have a precious gift that you want to give to your girlfriend, a diamond ring, you as her boyfriend want nothing else than to take that diamond ring, that precious gift, give it to her in such a way that she receives it, takes hold of it, makes it her own, puts it on, and enjoys it for what it is, a most precious gift from the one that she loves dearly, her future husband. People of God, God has a precious gift that He gives to us. And He gives that to us in such a way that He wants us to take hold of it, to make it our own, to enjoy it, to be assured of it, and to experience the blessing of that salvation. The Reformed faith is not a theology of doubt. The Reformed faith teaches a theology of assurance and confidence. Think about the sacrament of baptism that we saw this morning. That is what was going on there. That sacrament was not simply for Blake, who was baptized this morning. That sacrament was for all of us as members of God's church. When we saw with our eyes that water sprinkled upon His forehead, what came to our hearts and minds was that just as that water washes away the filth of dirt, so also does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ wash away the filth of sin and guilt. And by that, we were assured all the more confident that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's because through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, through the sacrament of baptism, as well as through the preaching of the gospel, God works and God confirms faith. And by faith, we are justified to the end that we receive and enjoy and are assured of our salvation. We consider this morning from Lord's Day 25 the means of faith. We notice in the first place the powerful work of the Spirit. In the second place, through the preaching of the gospel. And then last, through the instituted sacraments. The means of faith, the powerful work of the Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, and through the instituted sacraments. God saves us, or God justifies us, through faith. God's justification of us is really our salvation. God's declaration concerning us and to us that all of our sins are forgiven, that we are righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that one day we will live with God in eternity. We learned in the past few weeks from Lord's Days 23 and 24 what this justification is all about. We learned that the justification of us is only on the basis of the work of Jesus Christ. His righteousness is imputed to us. We learned that our justification cannot be on the basis of our own good works. Remember Isaiah 64 from last week. Even our righteousnesses, our good works, are as filthy rags. And so what we've especially learned in the past couple of weeks is that this justification is only through faith. Through faith, through an active knowing the promises of the gospel, through the confidence that the promises of the gospel are for me, through a conscious believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, God justifies us. He gives to us the blessings of salvation. And that leads us to Lord's Day 25, that asks the next logical question. If our salvation is only through faith, where does that faith come from? Faith is indispensable for us to receive and to enjoy and to be assured of our salvation. Where then does that faith come from? In other words, how does God give us faith? That's question 65. Since then we are made partakers of Christ and all His benefits by faith only. That right there is a summary of Lord's Day 23 and 24. Whence does this faith proceed? The answer that the Catechism gives then lays out for us what we can call the means of faith. That is, the Catechism lays out for us the tools or the instruments that God is pleased to use to give us and then to strengthen in us our faith. There are two of them: the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. The main tool, the primary tool that God uses, is the preaching of the gospel. The secondary tool, the second most important tool, are the sacraments. That becomes clear from the answer to question 65. From the Holy Ghost, and then this is the important word, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, and then confirms that faith by the use of the sacraments. The preaching works faith. The sacraments strengthen or confirm that faith. But yet, with Lord's Day 25, we begin a section of six Lord's Days on the sacraments. The heading above Lord's Day 25 in the Catechism is "Of the Sacraments." Six Lord's Days on the sacraments, a statement or two on the preaching. I bring this up so that we do not have the misunderstanding that by devoting six entire Lord's Days to the sacraments and only a statement or two to the preaching, the writers of the Catechism think that the sacraments stand above and are more important than the preaching. That's not the case. That's not the case from the answer to 65. They set the tone right. The preaching works the faith. The sacraments confirm the faith. We'll get into that in the second and third point of the sermon. The reason that there is so much material on the sacraments, very simply, is that at the time in which the Catechism was written, there were so many differing and damaging views of the sacraments. There was the Roman Catholic view. There was the Lutheran view. There was the Anabaptist view. There was the Calvinistic view. all kinds of differing and damaging views of the sacraments. And so the Catechism's writers deemed it necessary to explain very carefully and thoroughly the sacraments, what they are, how they work, and all of the rest. If the Catechism were written today, this would be a little bit different. Today, there are so many differing and damaging views concerning the preaching, of throwing by the wayside the preaching of the gospel. And that would have to be explained more thoroughly. One of the times through the Catechism, it would be good at this point to take that opening sentence in the answer to question 65 and break it down and devote 3 or 4 sermons to the preaching of the gospel. We're not going to do that. But now we understand at least why so much time is spent dealing with the sacraments. But that's okay as well, because the sacraments are important. We do need to understand them. And in going through them very carefully, we will learn glorious truths concerning the salvation that we have in Jesus. The title of the first point of the sermon this morning is The Powerful Work of the Spirit. We start by looking at the work of the Holy Spirit because that's what the Catechism mentions right off the bat in the answer to 65. Whence doth our faith proceed? The answer is from the Holy Ghost. Yes, there are means that He uses, but the one who works this is the Holy Spirit. When we saw the sacrament of baptism this morning, the Holy Spirit was at work. Right now, as the gospel is being preached, the Holy Spirit is at work. But we need to understand something this morning about the way in which the Holy Spirit works and what the Holy Spirit needs to do His work. It's important for us to understand that there is a work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of His people apart from and independent from these two means that we are talking about, the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. The point of Lord's Day 25 is that through faith God saves us. Through faith we receive the blessings of salvation. And this is how God gives us faith, through preaching and through the sacraments. But we must not walk out of the sanctuary this morning thinking that the Holy Spirit only works through those tools. There is a work of the Holy Spirit, and this is why it is a powerful work of the Holy Spirit, apart from the preaching of the gospel and the sacraments. The very first work, namely regeneration. Normally in the line of the covenant, God, even in infancy, even while a child is in the womb of his or her mother, God regenerates that child. The Holy Spirit goes to that child. And though he or she was conceived and born in sin and therefore spiritually dead, the Holy Spirit works life. The resurrection life of Jesus Christ is given to that child so that though he or she was dead, now they are spiritually alive. That's a powerful work of the Spirit. Apart from, independent from, the preaching of the gospel and the work of the sacraments. We need to hear that and understand that because at the occasion of baptism, what may come to some of our minds is the loss of an infant or the loss of a young child. We need to know that God works in infants. God works in very young children. Works the life of Jesus Christ in them. So that if they die, we have every reason not to doubt that was a covenant child of God that had the life of Jesus Christ. I say that in connection with Lord's Day 25 so that we understand what this is all about, so that we don't walk out of the sanctuary this morning and say to ourselves, the Word of God teaches that God saves us through faith, and this is how we receive faith, only through the preaching and the sacrament, so that if a child never heard the preaching of the gospel or did not enjoy and experience the sacraments, that child is not saved. That's not true. What we're talking about in Lord's Day 25 is the life of the child of God as it comes to a conscious, active faith. Lord's Day 7, a knowing the promises of the gospel, a confidence that those promises of the gospel are for me. What must be on our minds is not the exception, but the normal way in which God works in His church, in which even at a very young age, that faith becomes conscious and active. And now the Catechism teaches us that faith is indispensable for receiving the blessings of salvation. And this is how God works that faith. The Holy Spirit works it powerfully through the preaching and through the sacraments. The main tool is the preaching of the gospel. The Catechism says that the Holy Ghost works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. And that's why we read this morning Romans chapter 10. And in particular, verses 13 through 15. This is the main passage of God's Word that shows that this is true, what the Catechism is teaching. That the sacraments, or not the sacraments, but the preaching is primary because the preaching works faith. Verses 10, 13 through 15 record for us what we can call the chain of salvation, a way to speak of these verses. Salvation, that's what we're dealing with. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In this chain of salvation, these verses lay out for us five separate links to the chain. Five links that need to be together in order for there to be that salvation. Take away one of the links and the chain falls apart, and the salvation is not possible to receive. Let's look at those five links. The first link is calling upon the name of the Lord. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's number one, calling upon the name of the Lord. The second link, verse 14, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That's faith. That's what we're talking about in Lord's Day 25. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is faith. That's the second link. Link number three, hearing Him. How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? So to review, salvation. The one who calls upon God's name is saved. Can't call upon God's name unless you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's faith. Can't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ unless you hear Him. And then number four, preaching. How shall they hear without a preacher? That's number four. And then number five, in verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? Pointing to the work of the church, the instituted church, in calling and sending preachers of the gospel. This passage draws the tightest connection between believing in Jesus and the preaching of the gospel. Calling upon God's name. Can't do it without believing, faith. Can't believe without hearing. can't hear without preaching, and can't preach unless the church sends them. Take away one. Take away the preaching. And you have no faith. Notice what the catechism, or rather Romans 10, does not say. And this makes very clear the distinction between the preaching and the sacraments. Romans 10 does not say, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is saved. Can't call unless you believe, have faith. And you can't believe unless there are sacraments. And you can't have sacraments unless there is a church. That's not Romans 10. Romans 10 says, preaching. Preaching works faith in the hearts of God's people. And it does that exactly because of what the preaching of the gospel is. The literal word for preaching in this text means to herald, to be a herald. A herald is something that we're unfamiliar with today, but in the ancient times, the people would have been very familiar with it. A herald was an official representative of a king. If the king wanted to give a message to a dignitary of another country, he himself would not always go, but he would take his herald and send him. The herald would go to the dignitary of the other nation and say, "Thus saith the king." Officially, on the king's behalf, he would give that word to the dignitary of the other country, so that it was as if the king himself was speaking. That's the preaching. The preaching is the heralding of the gospel by one who is an official representative of the king himself, sent to proclaim the word of the king. But it's even more than that when it comes to the preaching. Because a herald on this earth only speaks on behalf of the king. But in the preaching, it's the king himself who is speaking. Jesus Christ himself preaches, speaks through the preaching of the gospel. That comes through in Romans 10. Something that you can't pick up in the English translation, but something that is very clear in the original Greek. In verse 14, we read, "How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" That's a mistranslation of that phrase. The KJV says, "How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard?" Literally, it's this: "How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard?" And there's a huge difference between "of whom" and "whom." The text is not saying that in the preaching of the gospel we hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says literally that in the preaching of the gospel we hear Christ. It's Christ that's speaking in the preaching of the gospel. John 10 verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice." How? How could Jesus say that? Not referring to the 10 or 15 people that may have been around Him that day, but referring to all of His people throughout history. "My sheep hear my voice." This is how, through the preaching of the gospel. People of God, we must never forget that. When the gospel goes forth faithfully, it is Christ that is speaking. Through an instrument of a man, yes, but nevertheless, Christ speaking. And that's why the preaching of the Word is this main tool that the Spirit uses to work faith, because it's Christ. Christ Himself working powerfully through the Word that He speaks in the preaching of the gospel to work faith in our hearts. Oh, if we would remember that every single Lord's Day when we come to hear the gospel preached. It's Christ who explains. It's Christ who's exhorting, rebuking, admonishing. When we remember that, then we hear, then we listen, and then we go forth in obedience. The main tool is the preaching of the gospel. And beloved, if that's the case, that has the most serious implications for us as a church and as believers. In the first place, it has a serious implication for what we do as a church. This is the main calling of the church. This is why every Lord's Day twice we come together and the main element in our worship is the preaching of the gospel. We can debate about how many times throughout the year we should participate in the Lord's Supper. The Bible does not say specifically, this is how often you do it. We can debate that. We do it 3-4 times a year. But by the way in which we do it, it impresses upon us that this is the main thing. Twice every Lord's Day, the gospel is preached. 3-4 times a year, the Lord's Supper is administered. This is why in the work of the seminary that we have, the main thing that must be done is not to produce church historians, is not to produce missiologists, is not to produce even counselors, but to produce preachers. This is why the main task that I must engage in and that I must dedicate myself to do and spend the time in my study doing is preparing sermons and catechism lessons to preach and teach the Word. This is why when we have a mission field, we send that man with the calling to do this, preach the gospel. This is how God works, to work in us an active, conscious, strong faith. That has to do with the work of the instituted church. But in the second place, there's a serious implication for all of us. If this is primary, and it is, let that be reflected in the way in which we live our lives, and especially in the way in which we prepare for the Lord's Day. On Saturday night, on Sunday morning, on Sunday afternoon, if this is the most important thing, let's do what we have to do to come here on the Lord's Day and listen and be able to listen in such a way that we hear the gospel preached. I understand that in some of our circumstances of life, that's hard sometimes. Kids up all night, young kids sitting in the sanctuary, trying to get them to listen and to sit well so that it makes it difficult to listen during the worship service. I understand that, but let's do what we can. We understand the point. Do what we can to set this as the primary thing for the Lord's Day so that we're able to come to the worship service on Sunday and listen well. And then in the third place, it says something about the parents that brought their child to be baptized and all of us as parents. A sign of a healthy church is that we have young families that desire to have their children baptized. That's beautiful. Absolutely wonderful that believing parents desire the baptism of their children. It's necessary. But there's a calling that's just as important as that comes after the baptism. In light of everything that we have said so far today, we must say this. The just as important calling, if not more important calling, is to see to it that our children hear the preaching of the gospel. Even when they're young, to get them to come to the sanctuary and sit, although they don't pick up everything, they pick up some things. That's why we have catechism. Really age-appropriate preaching for the children and youth of the congregation. The just as important calling for parents, just as important as presenting for baptism, is making sure that they sit at the feet of Jesus so that they hear the voice of Jesus Christ through which God will work faith in their hearts. The preaching is primary. The Catechism goes on to say that the sacraments are important too, because God not only wants us to have faith, but God wants us to have a strong faith. And the sacraments are what God uses to do that. Confirms it by the use of the sacraments. And so then the rest of Lord's Day 25 goes on to begin an explanation of what the sacraments are and how the sacraments do just that, strengthen the faith that God works through the preaching. So we'll spend just a few minutes this morning getting an introduction to what the sacraments are. Lord's Day 25, question 66, asks that basic question. What are the sacraments? The sacraments, and this is a good definition, very good definition, worthy of committing to memory. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed for God of God for this end, that by the use thereof He may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Notice that the content of the sacraments and the preaching is exactly the same. The promise of the gospel. That's what's declared in word in the preaching of the gospel and then seen visibly in the sacraments. Let's see what sacraments are by looking at those two main ideas. Sacraments are signs, visible signs, and then seals. First of all, signs. There are many different signs in this world. A sign is simply something that you visibly see that points to a spiritual reality. There's spiritual signs. During a storm, a rainbow. Children, you see a rainbow. You know that's a picture of something. What's it a picture of? God's faithfulness to us in His covenant. Promise never to destroy the world with a flood again. That's a sign. All sorts of them, but not all of them, are sacraments. These are. Visibly, we see something in the sacraments. We saw this morning water. Water sprinkled on the forehead of a baby. In the Lord's Supper, we see bread and wine. And we see broken bread. And we see poured out wine. And those visible things that we see point us to the spiritual realities. The washing away of sins. The breaking of Christ's body for me. The pouring of Christ's blood for me. And remember the main point of sacraments, strengthening faith. When we see that, we are assured all the more. Christ's body was broken for me. Christ's blood was shed for me. My sins are washed away. And by seeing it, God works through that to confirm and strengthen our faith. And then sacraments are seals as well. Seals are guarantees or promises of authenticity. Through the sacraments, something visible, God guarantees to us, promises to us that this is true, this is authentic, this is real for you and for me. A seal in ancient time, for example, was put on a letter. A king would send a letter to somebody else and there'd be a wax seal. And he would imprint that seal with his ring. Certain visible sign. So that when the recipient of the letter got the letter, he would know. He would see that seal and he would know, this is authentic. This letter is actually from the king, and I can know for sure that it is. That's what the sacraments are for us. They're seals to us from God, visible, so that we can be assured and confident that they're authentic. What's guaranteed? Well, the Catechism goes on to say that He grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Through those sacraments, signs and seals, God confirms this faith. There are two of them, not seven, two of them. Instituted sacraments was the point of the third point of the sermon. The Roman Catholic Church teaches seven. We believe in the New Testament Christ instituted two, the Lord's Supper and baptism. We go back to the very first thing that we said this morning. God wants us to know our salvation. Glorious gift that He's given to us. He wants us to know it and to be assured of it. And so in the wisdom and providence of God, He said, "This is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to give them faith. Because by faith we are justified. And by justification we know that our salvation is in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to give them that faith. And this is how. The gospel will be preached. And because I want them to have strong faith, I give them the sacraments to assure us all the more that the promises of the gospel are for us." What a glorious day we had together as God's people. We hear this preaching of the gospel, seen especially in the cross, that He died for us. And it's confirmed all the more in the visible baptism of this infant of the congregation. Let's say with the Apostle Paul in our hearts from Philippians 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Amen.